Amen. Praise God. Well, now you know a little bit of something about Memorial Day if you didn't already. Amen. Amen. Well, keep the nation in your prayers. I believe that God is not finished with us. We still have things to accomplish in this world. And I believe there are many nations that have been blessed by us, and we have been blessed by other nations because they have come here to make this nation. And so we're thankful for that. Amen? All right, so last week was Pentecost Sunday. Anybody remember what we were talking about? The
Holy
Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to be doing this little mini-series on the Holy Spirit. And I trust that you will have your Bibles out and ready this morning. So, let's go before the Father one more time. This time we're going to ask Him for help as we open the Scriptures. And that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide us into all truth. Amen? So, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, God, that it has the power to change us. God, to rearrange our thinking, to adjust us on the inside. Father, to lead and guide us into all truth. And so, Father, we thank You for our time in the Word today. Lord, that Word, that quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword Word, would change us in Jesus' name. Speak through me as I speak. Be glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, talking about the Holy Spirit, we want to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit today, because His person reveals His purpose. And when we understand what that purpose is, then we understand who He is by what He does, by who He is, by what He's described as in the Bible. Now, often, I think the Holy Spirit is very misunderstood. Even in our Christian religious circles, when I was a kid, I kind of thought of Him as Casper the Friendly Ghost. You know, people talked about the Holy Ghost. And then I got a little confused when I was a little bit older, because sometimes people called Him the Holy Ghost and sometimes they called Him the Holy Spirit. And so I wasn't quite sure if there was two. And I'm just talking, just being honest, as a kid, that's the way your brain might think. And so I do believe that there are some things in the Word of God that are going to bring clarity in this series. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, why He has come, how can we live this Spirit-filled life out and actually get to know the Holy Spirit? I think out of the three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is many times not only misunderstood, but He's sometimes ignored. Am I right? I mean, and then sometimes we call Him an it. We say, well, it's here. Well, no, He's here. He's here. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we anticipate in this series that there's going to be some mind renewing, some life changing. There's going to be a time that when we approach God's Word, that He's going to give you spiritual wisdom. He's going to show us some of the things that He does. He's going to show us, and we're going to look for Him in our weekly, daily life to show up. Because as Pastor Christine said, we're not alone. We're not alone. We've got the guide on the inside. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got the Holy Spirit. And just to bring clarity, we're talking about one and the same. We're talking about one and the same, okay? When you hear God the Father, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The three in one, we are talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the manifest presence of God. So come ready, come hungry, come ready to learn, grow, and be filled every time we come together, to be continually filled. One of my mentors used to say this, there is one infilling of the Holy Spirit where we get totally infilled and immersed and I mean doused with the Holy Spirit, like we were talking about last week. But there are many refillings, because we're supposed to leak out on the world. We are supposed to give out. So sometimes when you get all feeling all empty, you're supposed to be. You're supposed to empty yourself, but you're not supposed to stay empty. You're supposed to come back and get refilled. Go back to the source, the well that never runs dry, rivers of living water, and you will be able to be filled once more and once again. All right, so let's go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. That's where we began last week, and that's where we're going to begin again today. And it's great to have you, those of you that are joining us online. We love to have our online family with us. And we invite you to love, like, and make comments, and also invite friends. So praise God. All right, so in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, here's the promise. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we see right away Jesus's words right here tell us the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, and again, we're getting to know who he is. We're going to get to know who he is by what he does and by what the scripture tells us that he does. Well, number one, he is going to give us power. He's going to give us power to live this Christian life. This was actually prophesied in the Old Testament. Turn with me, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 36. We're going to go through a couple scriptures today just to set the foundation on this mini-series on the Holy Spirit. I believe it's going to help you understand him better. All right? So, Ezekiel chapter 36, we're going to pick up in verse 26. This was God prophesying through the prophet Ezekiel, saying, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So now what the law could not do, God wants to come in and do supernaturally. He wants to come and live on the inside of you and do what you can't do naturally. We know from the New Testament that all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. We know that none of us can be good enough. Jesus came to take care of that. Amen? But he didn't just come to take care of the sin problem. He also came to empower us to live this Christian life. It's not impossible to live this Christian life. He's given us the ability. I love what it said there. He says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. God wants to put a piece of himself on the inside of each one of us so that we will walk right. We will talk right. We will have victory over this flesh. Why? Because he wants people to know him. The Holy Spirit will always point people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will always be God-honoring. See, he wants to empower us to live God-honoring lives. Once again in the Old Testament, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. The Word of God is very clear about the Holy Spirit's role in our lives. What is he to do with us? How are we to have a relationship with God? Listen, according to John chapter 3, we're going to go there just after we go to Jeremiah. We're born of water and of the Spirit. You couldn't be born again if it wasn't for the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the supernatural presence of God in this earth doing amazing things on the inside of a human heart. Notice what it says in Jeremiah 31, starting in verse 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. This is speaking prophetically of, again, our relationship with God and the Holy Spirit. Now turn with me over there to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. He is working in the heart of man, and he does it supernaturally. In John chapter 3, you've heard us discuss many, many times being born again and what that means. So in John chapter 3, and verse 3, John 3 and 3. John 3, 3. In speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus answered him and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Hallelujah. So I want you to know that this Holy Spirit that we speak of, the part of the Trinity, part of the Godhead, the presence of God in the earth today, does the supernatural work of causing us to be born again. Once we believe, the Spirit of God takes residence up on the inside. We actually get a piece of God living on the inside so we can live the Christian life out. Certain desires will change. In fact, I know from my own testimony, when I received the Lord, there were certain immediate things that changed in my life. There was almost like this moral compass got dropped on the inside of me that I would know things, wait, I shouldn't do that anymore. I can't do that. I used to curse a lot. I'm not supposed to do that. Now, I'm not saying if you're a Christian and you curse that somehow you're not a Christian. I would say you need to check down on the inside if you should be. Right? Get quiet in here. All right. What I'm saying is God will show you. For me, that was one of the things that changed. My relationship with God changed to such a degree that it was like, oh, that's not something I want to do anymore. There were certain things that my friends actually, they saw me and they went, you've changed. And a couple of them said, you're weird. And some of them said, you're a Jesus freak. And I was like, yeah, I guess I am. I love Jesus, and I'm not ashamed. Because Romans, now go there to Romans chapter 1. Again, the Holy Spirit gives us this power to be born again, this power to live our Christian life in front of people. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. When we get born again, there is the power of God is released on the inside of each one of us. And it is It's a power that if you will recognize it and rely on Him, you will see a difference in your life. Your relationship with God will become more dynamic. I remember when I first got born again, I just wanted to read the Word of God. I just wanted to read the Bible. I mean, I think people thought I was a strange teenager, just reading the Bible. I wanted to read the Bible. And so I remember that summer, I read the New Testament through 2 times. And for whatever reason, and I'm thankful for it, I was separated from some of my worldly friends. And I just ended up just kind of getting kind of shut in with God. Then I started asking questions about the Holy Ghost. I started reading about miraculous things. I started asking questions. I started hearing about people in my family that I heard, well, you heard your great-grandfather, he used to speak with other tongues. And I'm like, tell me about that. I want to know. I was curious. I was hungry for the things of God. And I found out that I had a great-grandfather, not only on my mom's side, but on my dad's side, that were Pentecostals. And it missed a generation or two. And I was like, wait a second, I thought we were Baptist. And they said, well, your great-great-grandfather, he was a Pentecostal. I would hear these stories. And so now I'm born again. And I'm asking about Big Pa. And I'm asking about Pa Benny. These were the great-grandfathers. And they're saying, oh, yeah. Yeah, he would just sit in his chair and just pray in other tongues. Like, he was probably praying for me. That thought came to me. And then my mom in one of her photo albums had a little picture, and they said, oh, that was your great-grandfather Benny's, that was his church. He was a pastor. And it's this old black and white photo of this run-down looking church. And I thought, praise God. So he must have prayed for me too. And so I found these things out. And so I started asking questions about the Holy Spirit. And what is this experience, this baptism? People talked about a second experience with God. Not just being born again. You get the Spirit of God when you get born again. We saw that last week. Turn back over there so I can show you again. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I showed it to you last week. In John chapter 20 and verse 22, and when he had said these things, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This was Jesus speaking, the resurrected Jesus, speaking to his disciples before he ascended from on high, before the power came down from heaven, which was in Acts chapter 2 that we read about last week. So this was the second, this was the first experience. And so the second experience was when they waited in the upper room for 10 days, getting in one accord, praying, seeking God. Now remember, and I mentioned this, I believe it was last week, I usually mention this because I think it's amazing to me. There were over 500 people that heard Jesus say in Acts 1:8, go to Jerusalem and receive the promise. I don't know about you, but if I saw a man that I spent 3 years with, that I saw do amazing miracles, that I saw raise the dead, get shot up to heaven with angels up in the clouds, and before he left, oh, by the way, go to Jerusalem and you'll receive the promise. I don't know about you, but I would have gone to Jerusalem. I'd have been like, how do I get there? Where's the map? Where's my GPS? What's the coordinates? I'm going.
Yes.
I'm going there. Right? But out of that 500, only 120 went up to the upper room. So that means a couple other people got distracted, got talked out of it. Right? And I think sometimes when people are walking with God, sometimes they get talked out of all of God's best. Because we get distracted. We get away from the Word of God. We get distracted. So as a teenager, I'm thankful that, You know, I was distracted all kinds of times in school, but for whatever reason, I just focused like never before on the Word of God. And it was so helpful in getting my foundation. So then I found out that there were tongue talkers in my church, but they were secret tongue talkers. And I thought, what do you mean secret? Don't tell anybody. What do you mean don't tell anybody? They're like, no. It just kind of causes waves and people think it's strange. But I'm like, but it's power from on high. And they're like, yeah, it is. Come to my Bible study. So I went to a Bible study, and lo and behold, I got filled with the Holy Spirit speaking with other tongues. I started telling everybody else, you got to come to this Bible study. You got to come to this Bible study. So I'm telling everybody, you got to come to this Bible study. You get filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus shows up. He heals people. That Bible study only lasted 18 months at the FBI agent's house before, you know, schedules change, people's lives change. But that 18 months changed my life. Getting in the presence of God, being in the presence of the Holy Spirit, being taught some of the things that I'm sharing with you, that the Holy Spirit, He is a person of the Godhead. He wants to know you better, and you need to know Him better. So let's find out what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to John 14. You're there close. John 14, 16 through 18. Hallelujah. John 14, 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever.
Yes.
Now, just go up and let's read verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's a connection here. Jesus didn't want to leave His disciples without help to be able to do that. And that's why the answer is right there in verse 16. Listen, if you love me, keep my commandments. But then he says, and I will pray. I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit is to live with us, abide with us forever. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside, causes us to be born again, gives us power to live this Christian life. And verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But here's how we do it. We do it with the help of the Holy Ghost. We do it with the help of the Holy Spirit, that He would live with us. I love what that phrase, He'll give you another helper. Another helper. Now, in the Greek language, it actually talks about another one of the same kind, just like me, to live on the inside of you. That's why sometimes you'll hear, because we believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you will hear us say, well, I received Jesus in my heart. And that is true, because we believe in the Trinity. But in a sense, you received the Holy Ghost. He came down on the inside of your heart. He lit up your human spirit that was dead, that was lost, that was without hope and without God in the world, so that you would be lit up on the inside. There is a guide on the inside, and His name is Jesus. Years ago at the church that I was a part of, that we had a ministry that was similar to AA. It was called Hebron, and it was a very overtly Christian Alcoholics Anonymous. And one of the things that they would often talk about in their sessions were that they actually talked about getting a new in-house manager on the inside when they talked about being born again, because their life was out of control when they ran it. And they said, but now we've received a new in-house manager. We have a new in-house manager who helps us, who leads us, who guides us, who helps us live this Christian life. So Jesus said, I'll pray the Father that he'll give you another helper, one like the same kind. The word is also in the Greek language, paraclete. It's a helper. Guess what helpers do? They help. It's not hard. Do you need help in your Christian life? Anybody in here? Okay. Do you need help sometimes doing the right thing? Anybody in here? Okay. Why? Because we walk around with human flesh that still wants to do the wrong thing, still wants to have wrong desires, still wants to say the wrong thing. Come on. Don't you think that if somebody cuts me off, that I don't have thoughts? Just because I'm a minister. No. There is self-control from the Holy Ghost. And sometimes it starts right here. The best place to start self-control is right here. Right? You can't say everything that comes across. Because if you do, you'll get in a lot of trouble. I'll let that sink in. All right, here we go. The Spirit of Truth. So he is known as the Spirit of Truth. He's known as the Spirit of Truth. Our world and we need truth. He's the Spirit of Truth. Isn't that good? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, the person, you know, what is this all about, Pastor? You know, the person of the Holy Spirit. Person of the Holy Spirit. Well, what does he do? What does he do? Well, he leads, he guides, right? The Bible tells us that he also convicts. Let's look at John 16, 8 through 11. John 16, 8 through 11. This is kind of like the job description of the Holy Spirit. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. You know, that word convict is to find fault with and to correct. It is to admonish. It is to reprove. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide and show people and show the world that there is something called sin. Sin means to miss the mark. That's what sin means. The English word came from an archery term. People were shooting bow and arrows, and if you missed the bullseye, you committed a sin. You missed it. That's why Romans tells us all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. We've all missed that mark. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that he gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can actually have a guide on the inside. It says he will convict the world of sin, right, and of righteousness. So he convicts the world of sin, but then it says of righteousness. So what does that mean? How to make us right. How that we can actually have right standing with God. The Holy Spirit will draw people to himself so that you can have a right place with God. You can actually be right with God. That's good news, folks. I'm not here giving you bad news. I'm telling you, you can be right with God. Sometimes people walk around and think that, oh boy, I hope I make it. I hope I make it. Listen, there's a confidence that comes from living with and communing with the Holy Spirit on the inside that you can be right with God. If there's something wrong in your life, he can help you adjust it. If there's something you're still growing in, he can help you grow in that. If you have, as a young Christian, you've got maybe you've got self-control issues. Maybe you've got anger issues. Maybe you've got a lot of different things going on. Your flesh might be really powerful. But when the Spirit of God has come on the inside and you are giving in to the Spirit of God, the in-house manager, then there is a power available to you to say no to ungodliness. There's a power available to you to actually escape the temptation. In fact, 1 Corinthians tells us that there is no temptation as is common to man. I'm not quoting that quite correctly. Let's go to it. 1 Corinthians. No temptation has taken you that is common to man. Thank you. In other words, but God is able, who will with the temptation provide a way of escape. That means God gives you a way out if you're looking for it. 10:13. Thank you. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Why am I taking the time to do this? I believe that we're living in a day where sound doctrine, what I mean by sound doctrine, I'm not saying you have to agree with every little thing that I say, but sound doctrine, what we call Orthodox Christianity, is under attack. Because the very foundation of our faith is the Word of God, and people are getting away from it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's the Holy Ghost on the inside that gives you that answer. But if you're not looking for it, you can still give into your flesh. Did you know that? That's why you can't listen to your flesh. You can't. Because your flesh will lead you in every bit of wrong. It's true. Every bit of wrong. It's important to renew our minds by the Word to present. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. I'm getting you all over the place here as we finish up this Sunday. But Romans chapter 12 in verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, sister, by the mercy of God, you've been treated better than you deserve with mercy. Amen. That you present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice what verse 2 says. Don't be conformed. That word conformed in the Greek language has to do with pressured. Pressured and shaped. By what? The world? You can't let that happen in your life. And you can't think, oh, it'll never happen to me. Because guess what? My flesh, your flesh, any of us in here are capable of doing horrible things. Every one of us. You say, but Pastor, how can you say that? I've been a Christian 30 years. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Flesh has a power because we're still, that's why we have to crucify this flesh, spiritually speaking. That's why we have to present our body what? As a living sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. That's where suffering comes in. When you say no to your body, that's where suffering comes in. If you don't believe me, try fasting when everybody else is eating steak or your favorite food. That's a suffering. And if you're not a steak fan, just think of your favorite food. okay? And everybody's feasting all around you, and you're going to fast. And your body has a voice. It does. Your body has a voice. Just like your spirit has a voice. So this communing with the Holy Spirit, living out this Christian life, we got to get the Holy, not the Holy Spirit doesn't need to be any stronger, but our spirit with His Spirit has to be louder than this. This gray matter up here. Right? So we learn that there's a voice down on the inside of your spirit. And there's a voice in your body. And if you say, I'm going to fast, your body will start talking to you and start telling you, there's some nice ice cream in that refrigerator right now. In that freezer, there's some really good ice cream. In fact, it's your favorite flavor. And you hadn't thought about that ice cream in weeks. It's been back and shoved in the back. But as soon as you start making some choices to make your spirit band stronger, your body has a voice saying, I hear the ice cream man in your neighborhood. I bet you've got some change. Nothing wrong with eating ice cream. I like it. Okay. Hey. No comments, please. Now, there is always ice cream at the Mitchell household. That is true. I think that's a Mitchell thing. My grandfather used to always have ice cream. It is a Mitchell thing. All right, so where were we? Presented. Okay, here we go. Do not be conformed, pressured, molded, squeezed, but, exact opposite, be transformed by the renewing what? Of your mind. That's where the problem is, right up here, our stinking thinking. So we've got to change what goes in up here. That's why you got to be careful what you watch, what you see, what you hear. If you allow a lot of junk to come in, guess what's going to come out?
Junk.
So, we're talking about this relationship with the Holy Spirit. What does He do? Well, He leads and guides us into all truth. He actually is our comforter. He's a helper. Have you thought about some of these awesome job descriptions of the Holy Spirit? Think about that just for a second. You know, he's so good. God is so good that He gives us just awesome things to learn. I'm just going to give you a couple real quick. He draws us to Christ. He draws us to Christ. John 15 and 26. He will draw us to Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12, He is a deposit. He's a deposit of what we get in glory. He's just a deposit, a down payment. If we get a little heaven to go to heaven with while we're down here on planet Earth. He's a convictor of sin. John 16, 7, we already read that. He's our helper. So think about who He is. He draws us. He convicts the world of sin. He's a depositor. Just think about that. A piece of God comes to live on the inside of you to give you power to live, a new in-house manager. He's a convictor. He's a helper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to get into more of this next week. We're going to get into more of why would we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why is speaking in tongues a thing? Why is it a thing? And can any believer do it? You know, I grew up, and we're going to find out more next week, but I grew up that only the people who are close to God speak in other tongues. That was what was told me. It was a religious thought, but nobody told me that that was a way you commune to get closer to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand to your feet. Praise God. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, and it just gets me excited when I start talking about the Holy Spirit. Because when you start talking about it, He manifests Himself among us. He's here. He's here right now. He's here in this place. He's here inside of you. And I've said this many, many times. When the Word of God tells us, if any two of you were gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I used to get confused by that because I thought to myself, but I received Jesus and I'm not alone, right? Pastor Christine said that. So what does it mean that two people, then that means Jesus is here. So if Reverend Christine and I, you know, that means, oh, well, if any two are gathered in my name, he's here. But what that means is he manifests himself in a different way. That's why it's important to come and gather together as believers. Because he comes in a different way when I join with Avril, when I join with others of like precious faith, Randy, and when I join in prayer with Nicholas, I'm telling you, God manifests himself in a different way. The Holy Spirit, he's here. He's here right now. He's here in your living room if you're watching right now. Let's just pray right now. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. God, that the Holy Spirit is here. He is real. You gave him for us to be empowered by. And so, Father, I thank you for those that are watching, those that may not know Christ. Lord, that you would draw that individual, those individuals that may need to know him, may need to be born again, born of the water and born of the Spirit. Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you would touch hearts in the name of Jesus. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're watching online, it's real simple. You can receive, just as we spoke about in John chapter 20 and verse 22, you can receive the Holy Spirit by just believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says this: if you believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that he was raised from the dead, and you confess him with your mouth, the Bible says that you will be saved. So right now, we're just going to do that together. And I'd just like everybody just to pray with me as a way of giving comfort to those that might be praying this for the first time or online. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for my sins. That he was raised from the dead. And I receive his forgiveness. I confess Jesus as my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you got born again, we'd like to know about it. Let us know whether you're here in person or live online. We'd like to know. You can message us. We'd like to send you some materials to help you in your walk with God. Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Next week, we're going to find out more about the Holy Spirit. How you can be filled with the Holy Spirit on a continual basis and receive his power from on high to live this Christian life. Let's close with our sending out verse at this time. And it says, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7 and 8. God bless you.